Emily Dickinson wrote, "There is no frigate like a book to take us lands away." Each Thursday this month, we turn to a book in the National Geographic Direction series where some of America's finest writers take us to their favorite places. Today, off to the Pacific with novelist Susanna Moore and her memoir, I Myself Have Seen It, The Myth of Hawaii.
Islands give themselves easily to fantasy and myth and imagination. There is that whole aspect of Hawaii as a myth as seen through popular music, film, Trader Vic's, and hula girls on ashtrays.
That would be Hawaii as seen from the mainland. Hawaiians have their own ancient myths, passed down even as the old gods disappeared with the coming of the missionaries nearly 200 years ago. When Susanna Moore was growing up in the Hawaii of the 1950s and 60s, haoles, white people living there, also told the old stories.
It was just somebody sitting around the kitchen table, a grandmother or a cousin or an aunt, and at the end of the story, no matter how preposterous or terrifying, the person would say, I myself have seen it. And I remember as a child, you know, rippling with goose pimples of delight. Part of what was so thrilling about the idea is that it, in some ways it was literally true as well as metaphoric. So did Auntie Harriet on Molokai see the night marchers in 1958? She says that she did, and I choose to believe her.
And the night marchers?
Where night marchers are a band of dead warriors and chieftains who now and again take it upon themselves to march to the sea at night, and you can hear them coming at a distance because they're accompanied by drummers and musicians, and they are famous for not deviating from their path, so that they will walk, you know, literally through houses and gardens and bedrooms to get to the sea.
Tell me your favorite myth.
I love very much the whole series of Pele myths because they're very complicated, and they have a lot of the violence of and eroticism and treachery of Greek myth. Pele, of course, is the fire goddess who, in Hawaiian culture, still exists as a very dominant, omnipresent goddess of the volcano, who can disguise herself as a very beautiful woman or as an old withered crone who's often seen walking along the side of the road. And she can be placated with whiskey, which is why often if you go to visit a crater, the ground is littered with bottles of alcohol and broken glass. And I've heard tourists, you know, bemoan the debauchery of, you know, the locals because there's evidence of all this drinking. But in fact, the bottles are there as sacrifice offerings.
I spent much of my childhood in Hawaii, and on a practical level, it meant that I could go to school barefoot in a mumu. And I knew about things like Pele, the fire goddess, and, you know, our little childhood spirits were Hawaiian spirits, like the Menahunis.
Menahuni, yes.
The little people. And for a childhood, it was an enchanted place.
It was enchanted, absolutely enchanted.
And you have a passage in your book, I think, that captures it.
Shall I read it?
Please.
On the weekends, we went into the mountains, depending on the season, to pick ginger and to dig up rare ferns to grow in pots and to float down the flumes, absolutely forbidden to us, that carried the cold mountain water that irrigated the pineapple and cane fields. The wooden flumes, often on trestles and sometimes running underground, were lined with leeches that I picked from my bare legs and shirt sleeves when I emerged breathless from the chute. If it had been raining, we went tea-leaf sliding down the muddy and precipitous ditches made by the ancient Hawaiians for sledding, called he'eholua. The dangerous slides are now abandoned. The Visitors Bureau put in telephone poles midway down each slide to discourage tourists after one of them was killed. What was he doing there in the first place? We asked indignantly.
Yes, there were, in my own memory, there were hidden pools and upside-down waterfalls. And
yes,
there was
all of that. All
watching
of that.
Hammerhead
Secrets.
Sharks in little pools in the bay and learning to do the hula. But I was not Hawaiian. You're not Hawaiian. It isn't our culture. How does one hold on to the magic of the kind of childhood you had in Hawaii, knowing, in a way, what we know now, which is the terrible loss to the Hawaiians that made it possible for you and me, as a matter of fact, to be there years later?
You know, it is one of the profound dilemmas and ironies of colonialism, which I know Americans don't think of themselves, especially in Hawaii, as having been colonial in spirit and in business. But I think growing up there was very much like what it must have been like to grow up in Kenya at a certain point. The difference, I think, between Hawaii and Africa, of course, is that the Hawaiians have their land and have taken it back and have broken trusts that prevent them from living on their land or profiting by it, and are even fighting now for what is called sovereignty. So, you know, it's very complicated.
Novelist Susanna Moore's memoir of growing up in Hawaii is called I Myself Have Seen It, The Myth of Hawaii. Did you ever, as a young girl, think you saw or squinted your eyes and tried to see Pele or the Menahunes, the little people?
I can't say that I have seen Pele, although friends of mine have, and I would love to see her or the Menahuni or the Night Marchers. And, you know, I console myself by saying there is still time.
Fall further under the spell of Hawaii at npr.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.